All right, so, wow, we covered a lot. We covered all the connections to Joe Biden with China, which is why he will not actually shut down the border or not actually do anything to stop 133,000 people coming across the border just in the last 3 years from China, including 30,000 since October, and more Chinese nationals coming across the border in San Diego than Mexicans.
And a jaw-dropping Hunter Biden-tied email that kind of plays in all this as well that just got released that I can't believe how overt they were with this stuff and how most of the American people do not know it.
It actually says it.
Yeah, literally outlines how I was playing golf with my dad, and he really wants to get involved in this business.
It's crazy.
I don't understand it anymore.
And I think a movie that everyone in this audience should see, just to mark how far we've come with, you know, conservative or Christian movies. They always used to be crap. You're like, can't we make a good movie? Oh my gosh. This is the weight of The Godfather, I think, in the way the story is told, the way the immigrants are presented. It's about Cabrini, America's first saint of the Catholic Church. This little woman that was sick, who built the biggest hospital system in the world by the time she died. It's a great, great movie. Opens tomorrow. We talk about that as well on today's podcast. So when I first started my real estate company, realestateagentsitrust.com, I didn't know anything about real estate before I started the company. And then I started working with real estate agents, and they were the 500 best, according to the Wall Street Journal, 500 best real estate agents in the country. And I learned so much from them, and I realized, wow, I know how to interview real estate agents. I know how to find the good ones. There is a method to the madness. So I started realestateagentsitrust.com, which is not charging you anything for the info that we give you, and that is, who are the best real estate agents out there based on the things that we're looking for? We're looking for best practices. We're looking for a great track record. We're looking for really good reviews. We're looking for somebody who has an understanding of advertising to be able to get your house sold quickly. And we're looking for somebody who has the same values that you and I have. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. You need a real estate agent? Buy or sell? RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right, so we have a lot to concentrate on, but I want to bring you up to speed. There is something wrong with the border. You know this. But it is becoming more and more clear what the consequences are going to be, without putting any blame on anybody. But there is blame to go around on one thing. Russia is not the biggest enemy. China is. The Chinese Communist Party has real sophistication when it comes to war against the United States. And that's absolutely what we're engaged with. This is Sun Tzu. They're rotting us from the inside. They are supplying drugs like nobody's business. They are in business with the drug cartels. They are actually the big dog, and the Mexican drug cartels are the second in line. All of the drugs that are coming in, a vast majority of them, all of the fentanyl stuff, all of the ingredients come from China, are coming over here. There's about, I think it's 5,000 Chinese workers just across the border. They make it into fentanyl, and then they They don't press it into pills. They give it to the drug cartels. They sold the presses because it's got to say, you know, Adderall or whatever on the pill so people will be fooled by it. And they gave the presses with all of the molds. They sold them to the drug cartels at cost. Why would you do that? You're not trying to make any money on that? So they sold it at cost. So now they're supplying the materials, the presses, and the drug cartels are pressing these things into death. Death. Why is nobody talking about that? Same reason we didn't talk about that spy balloon. Remember that spy balloon? We just didn't know what it was. Spotted by a reporter in Montana. It went over our major cities, our nuclear bases, some of the most secret bases. We allowed it to fly over. But remember, we didn't know if it had any technology on it. Well, December last year, the intelligence officials revealed that the Chinese spy balloon, get this, they knew it at the time, used a U.S.-based internet service to navigate, as well as to send high bandwidth collections of data back to China as it was floating over America. Remember they said there's no navigation? Oh, yeah, there was. They've just revealed that to us now after when nobody cares about it anymore, that it did have navigation and it was using U.S. internet to navigate and send all the info. Remember, we shot it down, so all that information is lost. No. No. Last month, a FOIA requested by the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project found 14 instances since 2018 of Chinese nationals attempting to gain entry into our U.S. military base at Pearl Harbor. They also conducted surveillance, including flying drones over the base. Last September, a Chinese man and Chinese woman were found taking photos and video near Pearl Harbor security entrance before fleeing in a car with unidentified plates. There have been 100 similar incidences in the recent years of Chinese nationals posing usually as terrorists who are trying to infiltrate our military bases all across the U.S. And thanks to our wide open border policy, China has a much easier way of getting spies into America. This should shock you. In the first 3 years in office,
xenophobes, you just don't want brown people coming in.
During the first 3 years in office, over 133,000 Chinese nationals have been encountered at the U.S. border. 30,000 since October. Most of them are military-aged men. These are the ones we encountered. There are now more Chinese nationals crossing our border in San Diego than Mexicans. I don't know. That doesn't seem right. Last week, three Chinese nationals were arrested trying to cross the border in Maine from Canada in the middle of the night. A fourth was driving a car, arrested on suspicion of attempting to assist the others. Last year, a Border Patrol memo identified 270 suspected properties in rural Maine that are used for illegal marijuana growing. They're all operated by Chinese nationals. All the money is funneled back to the Communist Party in China or to use as financing for other illegal activities, including drug and human trafficking. In San Francisco, U.S. sovereignty is being undermined in absurd ways, but it's San Francisco. Law that was passed in 2020 that eliminates the requirement to be a U.S. citizen to hold seats on city boards. So last month, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors unanimously appointed Kelly Wong to the city's election commission. This isn't just any commit. This is the election Commission. She's not an American citizen. She's been in the U.S. since 2019. So she's a immigrant rights activist from Hong Kong. Okay, so she's, we have the videotape of her giving a statement after she was sworn in as the Board of Elections.
咁就其實喺兩年前我嚟到San Francisco嘅時候咧，咁我就認識咗好多原來。
Don't know what she's saying because she conducted the entire interview in Chinese. Okay. Now she may not have anything to do with the Chinese Communist Party, but what if someone in that position did? San Francisco now has somebody who is not a U.S. citizen, cannot legally vote, in charge of supervising the elections. Why? Regardless of her national loyalties, her political loyalty is apparently left-wing because she works for a group called Chinese for Affirmative Action. Now, who funds them? Well, according to their most recently published annual report, they are funded by Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, Google, the Tides Foundation. And then there's this one, this the most immediately pressing threat to Americans, the Chinese government hacking operations. Last year, the Chinese military hacked into around 24 U.S. power and water utilities. They hacked into communications and transportation systems. They breached a water utility in Hawaii, a major port in the West Coast, an oil and gas pipeline, and attempted to hack into the Texas power grid. What are we doing about that? Despite these threats, in 2022, the Biden administration shut down the Chinese or China initiative. What's the China initiative? Well, it was an initiative started by Donald Trump at the Department of Justice. It was to find and prosecute economic espionage and to help stop the stealing of intellectual property by the Chinese government agencies. Why on God's green earth would you shut that down? Why? Well, left-wing activists said the program allowed the FBI to unfairly target Asian Americans. In a little publicized story, under oath, Hunter Biden finally identified his father as the big guy, the recipient of that $5 million. Under oath, he identified his father as the big guy. That was Chinese money. Now, he went on to say, but everything else is a lie. Everything else you're saying is a lie. Is it? I can't tell. Because you said that was a lie for 4 years. And now, when you have Congress putting you under oath, you admit that it, well, that part is true. That money went to Dad. Why is our administration not doing anything about the border? Why is Gavin Newsom going over and not talking about fentanyl? Because I believe he surrounded himself with Chinese, with Chinese operatives and Chinese money. I think he doesn't want to answer any questions either. That's why he went over to China and didn't point fingers at the Chinese, but talked to him about the bad fentanyl problem. They are the source of all of our fentanyl problems that are coming across the border. They are the ones supplying all the chemicals, then making them here and giving them to the drug cartel to press them into pills, which their presses are from China. So what does all of this mean? Well, it means that impeachment is probably not enough for this crime. But it's not just the Democrats, and it's not just the Bidens. It's the Republicans as well. Why is it that no one will point the finger at China? Who's taking money from China? China is our number one threat outside of the United States. What they're doing with ByteDance and TikTok alone, their own internal memos show they are rotting us from the inside intentionally. Well, Donald Trump said it's got to be sold off. Why won't Republicans sign on? Oh, well, you have some very powerful Republicans who are investors in ByteDance. Is that maybe why? You know, it's one thing to not face our problems, like the budget. It's going to kill us. It's one thing to say, wow, we are overwhelming the system by letting all these people in. It's another to turn a blind eye to terrorists coming across the border and not saying anything about how many Americans are being killed by fentanyl that is coming in through that open border with the complete knowledge that all of those drugs are coming in from China intentionally. Okay, more from the podcast here in just a second. It's tempting to believe that the good people all over in the Chinese Communist Party have your best interest at heart, you know, and, you know, if there was some sort of medical problem, they would tell us immediately. Or if there were medical shortages throughout the United States or something, our good friends, the Chinese, would just make more and send it over to us as fast as they possibly could, right? Yeah, don't be too shocked, but I don't think that's going to happen. And they make most of our medication. It is a dire situation if we start to run out of medicine or have shortages. And that's why you have Jase Medical, JASEmedical.com. You can get all the antibiotics you use. You can have all of the medicine that you take. And you can have a year's worth of it as a supply. Just go to JASEmedical.com, JASEmedical.com. Now back to the podcast. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. It could not be higher stakes for President Biden than tonight if people are actually watching the State of the Union. He's not going to be judged just on what he says, but can he actually say them? He's got to look vigorous and vital. That's what they're working on. And they also want him to highlight the accomplishments. And I don't really know what those are. So maybe it'd be best to highlight them for me, I guess. To talk about this is Senator Eric Schmidt. He's just been elected from Missouri. He was the Attorney General of the great state of Missouri. And quite a fighter. And God bless you, Eric. Welcome back to the program.
It's great to be back with you, Glenn.
Thank you. So what are we expecting the president to say tonight? And how are the Republicans going to react?
Well, he doesn't have a whole lot to talk about as relates his record. There are not a lot of accomplishments that have actually improved people's lives. Working families, essentially, Glenn, are paying $10,000 more a year for the same stuff as they were just 3 years ago. When he came into office in, you know, the December of 2020, right at the end of President Trump's term, we had the lowest level of illegal immigration in 40 years. Now we have the highest level of illegal immigration we've ever seen, including 9 million people here who've come here since then illegally. And our energy policy is, you know, it's just been a total disaster for people. Instead of being energy dominant, we've weakened ourselves from export capabilities to just being energy dominant around the world, right? And so there's not a lot to talk about. So my guess is he's going to resort to fear-mongering, right? I mean, I joke there ought to be a drinking game for every time he says extremist MAGA Republican. This whole town in D.C. would be drunk 10 minutes in, probably. So I don't know what he's going to do other than try to scare people. It's all he has left. And, you know, Dark Brandon is probably going to come out on the speech, I'm guessing.
That would be, well, it would be revealing to some, I guess. Not surprising. The White House said he is going to highlight his historic accomplishments on issues. Listen to this. On issues ranging from infrastructure spending to scrapping junk fees. Now, I mean, I don't know about you, but those are historic. I spent more money than anybody else, and I scrapped junk fees, you know, from things.
Yeah, they. What's really happening, Glenn, is the people who wrote white papers a decade ago or longer about, you know, whether it's open borders or this sort of climate alarmist agenda that fuels the ESG movement, which I know you've talked about really almost before anybody else, quite frankly, that this just almost religious devotion where there's like sort of animal sacrifice involved now. they want to kill cows because of emissions. It's very bizarre. And what's happened now is the policy has lined up with this sort of theoretical discussion among these people. And now we're seeing the results.
Yes.
And so I actually think it's really instructive for people to compare the record, you know, from 3 years ago to now, because people are really seeing what it looks like when the left has the levers of power. And it's not good for people. And I think as Republicans, our response should be, we should have an unabashedly pro-American agenda. You know, just let's just strip it down. Let's make sure working people are making more. Let's stop sending our jobs over to China because we want those materials to build EVs there's not a market for here. You know, just let's secure our border. Let's be energy dominant. I think that is what people want to see. There's so many people, Glenn, that these are the people I represent. They're everywhere in this country, that they work hard, they play by the rules, and they love America. And they're constantly being told they're the problem. And I don't agree with that. I reject that. And I think most Americans do. And so Biden, again, is going to try to wish cast tonight and blame other people. But people are smart enough to recognize, which is why his approval rating's in the 30s.
So I have to ask you a question, because I don't think we talk about any of the real stuff. We don't talk about China. I've been harping on this for the last few days, about how China is actually making the raw chemicals, bringing them over, mixing them with 1,000 Chinese in a town just south of our border, mixing them into fentanyl. Then they sold the drug cartels the presses so they could press them into pills. So all of this is happening with China and our border. They are pumping poison in. He's going to talk tonight about how he's, you know, fought against the fentanyl, but he hadn't done anything with China and with the real problem on what's going on our border. And again, on the border, he's going to make this about, the Republicans, you know, they just wouldn't do a comprehensive package. No, sir, you have let people in. I really fear a massive terrorist attack on our land, and possibly soon.
Well, I'll give you a startling number. In just California alone, in the last 4 months, you think about the nation, the countries of origin of people who've come here illegally and been released into the country. China's number two, 21,000. Okay, we've never seen those kinds of numbers ever before from a place like China. They're coming from all over the world, and you're right, they are importing poison. And the cartels are being enriched. They have lanes for human trafficking and drug trafficking that's well established. And they're getting rich off of this, and Americans are dying. And I think, again, this is why the immigration issue, illegal immigration, is so seminal right now. People don't get it. They don't understand how an American president can't be like up in arms about this. You know, like, it just, it's a core thing that I think strips away some of the red jersey and blue jerseys we wear on some issues. Like, this is our border. These are our people dying. How is it that you care? And it's also the disconnect on Ukraine. How is it that you are obsessed with sending another $61 billion there when this is happening right here? So I think it really, Glenn, has just sort of crystallized the frustration of the people who are in charge who don't actually put America first in any way, shape, or form. They just don't. And I think the border issue, and you're right, he doesn't need any new laws. He doesn't. He issued 90-plus executive orders undoing the successes. Remain in Mexico, of course, is the most famous. When I was AG, we held up those for a while. We won in court for a while, but they are just dedicated to it. It's in their DNA. So they're getting exactly what they want, and the American people are feeling the consequences.
So can I talk about the budget that has just the continuation of this nonsense and this madness. I saw Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who I don't have a problem with. He seems to be doing a good job. He was talking about how many cuts there is, but that's not real. Did we get anything from this, and is it going to pass the Senate?
Probably. I'm not going along with it. I didn't get sent here to go along with the broken system, whether it's these, you know, no appropriations bills, no debate. We don't even know if we're going to get amendments. You know, think about that. It's the United States Senate. We don't know if Chuck Schumer is going to allow, because he's unveiling these omnibuses. Now, this is broken up into two omnibuses, but it's still bad. It's still a bus headed off a fiscal cliff. You know, we're $34 trillion in debt. There's 6,000 earmarks. There's money for ecotherapy, like people who are stressed about climate alarm. I mean, there's money for algorithmic justice. I mean, this is nuts. And if you put these questions to the American people, they reject it, but they try to do it under the cover of darkness. They try to jam this at deadlines. And so I'm fighting, and I hope it can be bipartisan. I mean, you know, Mike Lee and others, I know, you know, what we're trying to do is get to a place where we're empowering individual members, where you actually have a say. I think that's what people think happens here, that you stand up on the floor as a senator, like Mr. Smith goes to Washington. I have an idea. I have an improvement. I want to build support. I want to build a coalition. Chuck Schumer doesn't rule the floor like that. And so a lot of members are just completely cut out. And it's why we end up with these bills like this that are just needled, you know, are just embedded with a bunch of waste.
And I know I'm not disagreeing with you when I say this, but neither do the Republicans. I mean, the Republicans and the Democrats have given away all their power to the state, to the administration. And that's the real problem here. We need a president that will reduce the federal regulations that come from unelected nobodies.
Yep. Well, and you know, we've talked about before, the first legislation I filed, one of my fundamental missions here is to dismantle the administrative state. The founders never envisioned unelected people, unaccountable to anybody, affecting people's lives the way they do now. So there's a bunch of structural reforms I think Congress ought to have to vote on. Every regulation, pick the economic impact. Mine would be lower than someone else's. We should be on the record. If we did that, there wouldn't be a ban on gas stoves. There wouldn't be all this ridiculous stuff that we don't like. We should have to vote on it, and that would stop this stuff cold. We need structural reform, and I'm just not going to stop until we get it, because I think it's and you want to understand why people lose faith? It's because they see that. They send people to Washington. It feels like nothing changes because this administrative state exists. And, by the way, the same apparatus is suppressing their speech, which is why the heart of Missouri versus Biden that I filed will be argued in 2 weeks at the Supreme Court. So that was my first floor speech, Glenn, was taking on the administrative state and protecting the First Amendment. I care deeply about it, and I think it's our way forward to restoring trust and actually living up to the promises of America.
You know, I haven't talked to you about this, so I don't know if, because you're busy on other things, but I don't know if you know, one of our investigative journalists was arrested by the FBI and absolutely humiliated. He went in and covered January 6th in the Capitol. We have all of the footage of him in the building. Mm-hmm. He never did anything except report the news. His video was used by the New York Times and HBO. He was a legitimate reporter in there covering this. They arrested him, put him in ankle chains and handcuffs, and marched him in front of a judge. We don't know what's going to happen to him now. He's been charged with 4 misdemeanors. This has got to stop. They're out of control.
Yep, and you're going to hear tonight, Glenn, the American people have a choice between democracy and authoritarianism. Well, we have seen the enemy, and it is Joe Biden's administration.
Yeah.
Look, this is meant to quell dissent. It's completely un-American, and they have weaponized these institutions to go after, Catholics and people who are speaking out. We saw with the censorship enterprise, it silenced millions of posts in Americans across the country. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And it's really un-American. And I remember a time where liberals, believed in the First Amendment.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the hell happened, but we got to figure it out.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll be watching for you tonight. One last thing. Are they... The press keeps saying the Republicans are going to be out of control tonight. We'll leave it at that. It's Senator Eric Schmidt from Missouri. I think that was a great comment myself from Missouri. Senator Eric Schmidt, back in a minute. Don't forget our coverage begins tonight with the State of the Union. We're not covering it like everybody else. We're all getting together and we're pretty much... I mean, we'll tell you all the facts and everything else, but we'll just be kind of an outlet for you. just kind of a let the steam off, because there's going to be things that we've got to say tonight. Join us at Blaze TV. It's the State of the Union roast, if you will. Go to blazetv.com/SOTU. That's State of the Union, SOTU. Save $30 with the code SOTU tonight. At blazetv.com/Glenn.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
If we were anywhere south of the border, this next guest, I mean, I think I would probably have girls screaming outside of the windows going, oh my gosh, you talk to him. Big, big star in South America and Mexico. I'm going to introduce him as only a white man can. As Alejandro Monteverde, which is not the way he would say it, but better than the way George Bush would say it. He'd be like, Alejandro, he's here. Anyway, Alejandro, how are you, sir?
How are you? Thank you for having me in your show. It's a great honor. And by the way, I met George Bush at the, when he gave the State of the Union speech, he picks 2 immigrants that came to this country. And I was one of them.
Wow.
He spoke, so I had the opportunity to chat with him, and he did spoke like what you said.
Alejandro is here. Anyway, so Alejandro, you are one of the great reasons we love immigrants. You are a guy, big, big star all over South America and Mexico, and as an actor, but you have... become, I believe, one of the best filmmakers in the world. I saw your movie Cabrini when it was, I don't even know if it was locked down yet. And halfway through it, I said to one of the producers, I feel like I am in the screening room with the group that made The Godfather, sitting next to...
That is one of the most amazing compliments, because when I work with my cinematographer, that was one of the inspirations.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, you guys nailed that. It is one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen, but not for an artsy reason. It just captures a mood like I've only seen in The Godfather. So you hit that. The movie Cabrini.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The movie Cabrini. Tell the story of Saint Cabrini, because a lot of people don't know her.
Well, the shorter summarized, she was a warrior. She came here to America in the late 1800s as an immigrant, a woman with nothing, with a dream, with a big mission to build hospitals and help those in need. And built an empire as big as any Rockefeller or Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Even though at that time when she arrived, she faced a lot of racism against the Italians and discrimination. And but that's the beautiful of this country. That did not stop her from building one of the greatest hospitals that New York has ever seen.
It is. And she actually, at the end of by the end of her life, I believe it was the largest hospital network in the world.
Yes.
I mean, what she accomplished was amazing. And she became an American shortly after she got here, a few years after she got here. But it shows a woman,
an American, then she was the first American saint.
Yeah.
Which is also very powerful.
Yeah. The way you have predicted her, tell me about the lady who plays her. This movie, Cabrini, by the way, my highest recommendation. This is an incredible movie, so inspirational, so well done. This will show you how far independent films have come from conservative media. This is, put out by Angel Films. You remember how bad Christian movies were? This is, I wouldn't categorize it as a Christian movie. It's just a movie about this wonderful Christian. But it is brilliant. So please go see it. It's out tomorrow. Anyway,
Thank you. First of all, that's so truly an honor to coming from you. It means a lot. The reason this is a woman that also defied death itself, defied our mortality every single day. She was able to literally steal decades of life. They told her that she had 2 to 3 years to live, and she kept fighting and fighting with, look at the amount of faith. If somebody tells you have 2 years to live, but you have a dream that will take you 20 years to make, that requires a lot of faith in yourself to begin with. So I needed an actress that was able to have the power of her eyes from going from a loving eyes that can love a child that is abandoned to the streets to rapidly change to have these defiant eyes to defy all these challenges that were put in front of her. She fought all the way from the most dangerous criminal, a pimp that was prostituting little girls, to facing very powerful politicians.
Right. And the Pope. I mean, the scene with the Pope where she's like, I'm going to see the Pope, and everybody's keeping her away from the Pope. And he's finally like, I'm not going to mess with this woman. Go send her in.
Yeah. She inspires me all the time. We take no's too easy nowadays. So if somebody says no, and then you just walk away. She was able to convert a no to a yes. She was able to build bridges, to even be able to work with people that disagree with her. And that's what I think is a problem right now, and it's so relevant with America, because right now we're in such a divided country. We should be able to work together even though we're divided, and she understood that.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have to agree, but there's people dying outside, There's like, let's go and help. And she lived a life for others.
Can I go down just an odd road perhaps with you? There was one point where I leaned over to the producer and I said, that's Batman looking over Gotham. Right?
And she was wearing a cape.
Yes.
And she was wearing a cape.
Yes. So did you things? Because there were several places where I was like, that's a hero shot. That's a hero shot that I've seen. Did you intentionally do that?
Yes. Everything was designed and very intentional in this film. Because of COVID, at least we had to use COVID for advantage. The movie kept being pushed and pushed. So we used all that time to keep designing and designing every shot, but designing the subtext. There's a lot of subtext in this film. She lived a very heroic life. She was wearing a cape. So we wanted to present her visually as a hero, as those heroes that you see in Marvel movies. But was a real hero.
And is it true that this was, because I think this is what makes the movie so visually appealing, is it was meant to be shot in black and white, right?
Yes.
And what happened?
The whole time the movie was black and white. And when you shoot black and white, it allows you to be very operatic, Orson Welles, Citizen Kane, it's like all those movies. It's a wonderful, life, all those films, it allows you, Orson Welles used to say, it is impossible to have bad acting in black and white. Black and white allows you to do everything, but most importantly, the reason I wanted to shoot it in black and white was because she was wearing black. Right. And I didn't want her habit to get in the way of her story. So I was like, well, then everybody's going to be dressed like her, black and white. So it for an entire year and a half, I designed the movie as it was black and white, which is very operatic, very cinematic, very orchestrated, almost like if you look in a movie on Broadway. So, and then a week before we started the shoot, Eustace Wolfington, who was the person behind all of this movement, I call it the Cabrini movement, he flew in. And I say, well, he come in for two reasons. Either he's firing me or he's telling me that he's not going to be black and white. That was the only two reasons, because anything else he could have just told me on the phone. Why is he flying in to see me? And it was the second one. It's like, he's not going to be black and white. And by this point, I already had to sign the movie. When you design the movie for black and white, like Citizen Kane, you take a lot of creative licenses visually. Yeah. And it was too late to go back. And it, you know, I didn't know if it was going to work. So when I finished the film, I went into a deep, deep depression for 2 weeks because I didn't know if this movie was going to work, because I had shot it, designed for black and white, but I shot it in color. So it was I went into a dark place for 2 weeks, and then I saw the first cut and I was like, oh, it worked.
Oh my gosh.
It was a risk.
It is the most visually stunning movie that does not detract. You know, sometimes people do it for art's sake and blah, blah, blah. This is just visually stunning and helps tell the story. I mean, Alejandro, you don't need this from me, but I truly believe you are one of the, if not the best director around today. You are going to be legendary. I believe it's just a matter of
thank you.
Just a matter of
thank you, Glenn.
Time. You are just it's brilliant.
Truly,
so
truly, because we've been in a fight, and I want to, you know, I've never heard that, and more coming from you, it's shaking my heart. But I want to say something. You know this very well. You know, movies like these, if we don't have the big billboards, we're competing against Dune. So the only way the movie like this can survive is if in opening weekend people go see it. Otherwise, we'll be kicked out of theaters. So I cannot tell you how important it is that people come out on opening weekend, because they are our billboards. The billboards is the word of mouth. It's people coming out of the theaters and sharing their experience, their cinematic experience with audiences. You know, our audience is the walking billboards.
Well, I will tell you that I saw it in a studio projection room, and I went home, and I've been telling my family about this movie ever since, and we are all going to be at the theater tomorrow. I can't wait to see it again. It is so good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
you saw an early cut, so I can't wait for you. There is two or three new scenes. Mm. I wonder if you'll be able to spot them. I think you will, by the way.
Alejandro, thank you so much, and keep up the good work. You are fantastic, really. And Cabrini is a piece of really a piece of art. It really is.
And I'm so grateful for your support. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Alejandro Monteverde, filmmaker, and I really mean this. I think he's going to be remembered with all of the greats. I have been a fan of his when he started making smaller movies. And he made Little Boy, which I thought was just fantastic. Captured the spirit of America in World War II, like very few people can do. And then he also is responsible for the Sound of Freedom. And now Cabrini. And this is amazing and a great uplifting story. You will just love it. Find it at a theater. Like he said, this weekend is really important because the reason why Sound of Freedom did well is because more movie theaters open up on the opening weekend. If they have a big opening weekend, then more theaters go, you know what? I'll give that a try. And if you don't support these things on the opening weekend, and you will just go to support filmmakers, we have come from really bad movies to brilliant, brilliant pieces of work. And this is the best I've seen from a conservative. And it's one of the best I've seen from anyone. It's called Cabrini. See it this weekend.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.